Exodus chapter 23, verses 27 to 30. My text verse is Exodus 23, verse 30. You'll hear me refer to it this morning. It says, "By little and little will I drive them out from before thee." As we have the privilege of living in the modernized country of America, when we hear our missionaries talk and we read their letters, we learn that what it takes us a few hours to do here in America sometimes takes them a few days to do the same thing in a third world country. Nothing happens fast. You'll hear the missionaries in Africa and they'll say sometimes they only have power for 2 or 3 hours in a day, and then the rest of the 21 hours there is no power. We don't deal with that. We might deal with it in a rainstorm or something like that. We've got power all the time here, praise the Lord. So you hear the missionaries from Brazil or South America, the same thing, power outages. We will mail a letter in 15 minutes here. Takes them 3 and 4 hours when they go to the post office, and they'll stand in lines that are... We just don't deal with that here. And you start seeing it's a different world on the mission field, and we really do things very fast. In America, though, we're obsessed with fast. We're obsessed with no waiting. People, have you noticed how nasty and aggressive people are on the roads? Rows of vehicles, two lanes, guy behind me, I can't go any faster. I mean, man, he's like right on it, and then all of a sudden, right in front, and rows of, it's not like I was like, I hope he's happy. He's not getting anywhere any faster than I was, but it's just like, and you watch them, you know, and they're, I drive normal, but people are pointing me to heaven everywhere. It's like, I see that finger over there, God bless you. I see that finger over there, God bless you. And I just assume it means one way to heaven. You keep smiling when you drive, amen. If you'll notice something, as our luxuries increase here in America, and as our technology grows to where we're doing less and less, we are also growing more impatient. Think with me. To get upset when you're at a fast food restaurant, can I just explain something to you? In their slowest day, they still made it quicker than you could have at home.
Well, it just seems like they're growing the cow out back, and
I understand all the gripes. But at a fast food restaurant, I'll say it again, in their slowest day, they're preparing it quicker than you could have at home. But we don't think that way. We want everything now. We can laugh about it, and I'm glad we do, but our lack of patience is hurting us. It's not helping us. I want you to think this morning, we need to be reminded, and this verse tells us this, that success in any area of life never comes immediately. Never. The only thing that's instantaneous, you'll find, is salvation. Aren't you glad it's not, God doesn't save us by little and little. When you put your faith in Christ, you get all of it, everything God wants you to have. The rest of life is little by little. It's a pace. It's a process. And God wants us thinking that way. I like that phrase, by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee. If you just will stay where you're at, that same phrase is in Deuteronomy. And in verse, just let me read it to you. God says in Deuteronomy 7:20, "Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them," just like we read in Exodus 23, "until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee," here's that phrase, "by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed." What happens in between Exodus 23 and Deuteronomy 7? The same thing. By little and little, I'll drive them out. By little and little, I will drive them out. Just let me tell you here, what happens in between those two chapters? In Numbers 13, God tells Moses to send 12 spies into the promised land so that the people can get a glimpse of what God has given them. Out of the 12 spies, only Joshua and Caleb are trusting God enough to help them fight the battles of the land so they can inherit it. The other 10 spies out of the 12 come back.
It was horrible. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. God sent us here to destroy us.
And that lack of faith angered God. In Numbers 14, that was Numbers 13, in Numbers 14, God becomes so angry at the griping and the lack of faith that he tells Moses he'll kill everybody and start over again with Moses. Wow. Moses prays and God pardons the people, but he tells Moses, because the people had seen his glory in Egypt with all the plagues delivering them, and they still wouldn't trust the Lord, God said, everybody that's 20 years old and upward is going to wander in the wilderness or the desert until they died. Then the children who were 19 years old and younger would enter into the promised land. So think with me. In Exodus 23, what we read, God was telling his people what he was going to do when he brought them into the land. Then, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, they wander for 40 years and a new generation comes to the same place and God says, God reminds them as they get ready to go into the land. So God's talking to two different groups of people here. Think about this for a second. A 19-year-old boy and a 19-year-old girl are getting married. They get married in Egypt while they're slaves. The story is just a few days before this, they were slaves. They put the blood on the doorpost. The death angel comes through Egypt. They're delivered out of bondage. God brings them across the Red Sea. They have now been out of Egypt. By Exodus 23, they've been out of Egypt for about 2 weeks. 14 days, if you want to add it up. It's announced to them that they're going to wander now, two 19-year-olds. They're now going to wander for 40 years until everybody that is 20 years old and upward dies. Then they'll go into the promised land. So for 40 years, they wander and follow the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. 40 years. There's people in here that are 40 years old and older. What were you doing 40 years ago? This couple, who was 19 when they got married, they're now 59 years old. And they're back at the point where they're getting into Kadesh, where they're getting ready to cross into the promised land. They're at the same spot they were 40 years ago. And if you think with me here, they're 59 years old, 1 year from 60, and they're back to where they should have been 40 years ago, and they're at the place where they should have already been settled and set. Had the people trusted God like they should have, they would have already been living comfortably and farming in the land. But they're back to square one. And then God says in our verse 30, by little and little. You would think, I've wandered for 40 years. How come you just can't bring us into the land and Israel, you know? And God tells them, they are not going to enter the land and immediately inhabit all of it. This is because there wasn't enough of them. There was not enough of them. They had to grow into it. This morning, I want to take this principle. It's so important in the Christian life. We need to apply this in every area of our life. Ron Hamilton sings a song, little by little, inch by inch, by the yard, it's hard, but by the inch, it's a cinch. Never stare up the stairs. Just step up the steps, little by little, inch by inch. Kind of sounds like our verse there. Too many times we get upset, we get frustrated with how slowly things develop, but nothing in life is immediate and quick. Except, right now, the pleasures of sin are. Sin is immediately satisfying. And the devil, if he can get you living for the now, don't think of the future. Don't think of what you'll become. Just live for now. Just get all you can now. Don't think about tomorrow. Just, does it feel good? Do it now. And the devil tries to get you living for now. And I like the old statement. He tries to get you to live for the wow of the now. And then he'll pow you like a cow. Here God says, if you look at verse 29, he says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Now in Deuteronomy, God tells them they'll be overrun with beasts. So they've wandered for 40 years and they have to wait. It took years for the children of Israel to finally fully possess the land in all 12 tribes on both sides of the Jordan. God said he would drive out the evil little by little. As I was thinking about this, the word patience is only found in the New Testament, not found in the Old Testament. You know what's in the Old Testament? Verses like, wait on the Lord. Look that phrase up, wait on the Lord. That's in there quite a bit. But in the New Testament, you find the word patience. Like this, listen to this. Luke 21:19, Jesus told us, in your patience possess ye your souls. In Romans 14, and I love these verses, and I was going to look at them with you this morning. If we're going to go anywhere, why don't you take your Bible and go to Ephesians 4. Go to Ephesians 4 while I read you some verses here on patience. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at verse 13 here in just a minute. I'm going to read you Romans 15, verse 4. Listen to this while you go to Ephesians 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. God's Word gives us patience. We have to come to God's Word with patience. Verse 5 says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. You're going to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read you one more verse of patience. Hebrews 10:36 says, for ye have need of patience. And now none of us like growing in patience, but all of us need patience. Because all of us want it now. Now. I want to apply this principle this morning by little and little, or you could say by patience. The first application of our text in Exodus would be to your spiritual growth, to you spiritually. I'll read Ephesians with you 4 in just a second. Ephesians 4, just listen to me. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Nobody immediately is anything. That's why in trades there's journeyman. And then you've got a process. The same thing is true in Christianity. You know what's beautiful about a church? When there's older Christians in the church, you know what they are? They're examples to the younger people. Keep doing right. Keep living right. Stay in your Bible. Stay true to God. And one day, if I had everybody in here that was 50 years and younger stand up, I'm not going to. But that crowd in here is supposed to be watching the crowd that's older, thinking, this is my church. One day, I'll be making decisions. If Jesus tarries, amen, if Jesus tarries, and you use the older Christians as models, and that's always been God's plan in the Bible, the younger look to the older. Wow, isn't it a blessing? I think Brother and Mrs. Dorsey have been married now 50 years. They're on a trip. They'll be back tonight. The younger couples could look at that and say, wow, we need to stay true to the Lord. In a day of divorce, that's supposed to encourage you. We do what they did. What did you do? Stayed true to the Lord. Stayed in church. Stayed. You could look at a brother and Mrs. Wilkins. When was your anniversary, Brother Wilkins? Or when will it be? But the younger couples in the church should be able to look at the older couples and say, they didn't get there in 1 year or a decade. They got there decade after decade after decade. And if we stay true to the Lord, if we do what God wants us to do, we could be like that. Amen? That's what's supposed to happen in church. The younger look at the older and say, they slowly got there. Now, where we're at, seems like, look, when you're a kid, it seems like you're never going to grow up. I remember watching I was in third grade. I used to idolize the sixth graders. 12 years old. I just used to think, I remember growing up and thinking, man, one day I'm going to be 12.
And it's going to be awesome.
Because they could beat up everybody. And like they beat up on me every day. I'm just saying, when you're a kid, you never... It seems like, to get to the next. And then it goes so slow. And then as you get older, life gets faster and faster. To where literally the years start disappearing. And you don't know where it's going. All I could tell you is this morning, could we apply patience and little by little to your spiritual growth? You're in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 13. Ready? Till we all come in the unity of the faith, that's going to be in heaven, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, that word perfect means mature or complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is talking about when we get to heaven. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's that mean? In other words, you go from being a child spiritually, to an adult by listening to the older Christians and learning the doctrines of the Bible so that you can become settled. That takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a week. If I could get you this morning to leave here thinking, I need to be more patient with myself, growing spiritually, you won't get discouraged. God grows you spiritually little by little. Nobody in here is an instant spiritual giant. Not that any of us are. But some in here are more mature in the Lord than others. Do you know how they got that way? Little by little. Watch this. Look at verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up, there's the growth, into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Can I just tell you this morning? There are doctrines that you're supposed to learn in your Bible to help you become a stable Christian. And a young Christian is normally like this. And the older Christians in the church stabilize him. Keep on. No. Yeah, you're right. The internet's got a lot of garbage on it. Stay away from it. No, your Bible says this. Look, you want to have a good conversation, get around to Brother Wilkins. Ask him if you can come over to his house and just sit and then talk about the Bible. You'll learn a lot. A lot. He's not this way. Ask Brother Bernie if you can go over to his house sometime. Sit around the older Christians. Go to a Brother Collins' house. Ask him Bible questions. You'll learn a lot. The older Christians aren't tossed to and fro. They've learned some things that settle them. Like this, the doctrine of eternal security. Once you're saved, you can't lose it. The doctrine of the Bible, it's God's eternal word. It always has been. That book you have in your hands, if it's a King James Bible, always has been. If you don't know that, you need to learn that. Amen? How about this? The deity of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is God and man. He's 100% God, 100% man. He's not an admixture of either. He's 100% both. You need to learn about the Holy Spirit of God. He's not a tingly feeling. He's to empower you to live the Christian life. You need to learn about tithing. You say, you're after my money. I'm not after your money. I know this, you can't give improperly and grow spiritually. I'd like to take a whole time on. Probably, if somebody came up and said to me, preacher, what could I do to grow the fastest spiritually in the Christian life? I'd take you to Malachi chapter 3, and I'd take you to Luke, where Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's the wallet, there will your heart be also. You know what God made our hearts to do? It follows whatever you invest in. And the fastest way I could help your heart become spiritual is to help you give properly. And that doesn't happen overnight. But if somebody said, I want the fastest route to a soft heart to Jesus and to love the Lord and spiritual growth, I'd say, okay, make sure you tithe. Because your heart is always where your money is. And if your money isn't in the right place, then put it in the right place. Put your money where God says to give. And watch this. God doesn't say give all your money to the church. You're supposed to live in a house, not under a bridge. Amen? Not in a cardboard box. But giving is very important for you to understand. Those doctrines are basic. They're not for super Christians. They're basic, settling doctrines. There's doctrines you need to learn so you can be stable. And so you could learn to recognize what is deception and what is truth. Matter of fact, take your Bible and you're in Ephesians. Can you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke? Look at chapter 8, verse 15. I would preach a message like this because I watch people come to church and then they're here for a while and then they stop coming. And when you start to talk to them, why'd you quit coming to church? In some cases, it's because they get discouraged. And they don't give themselves time to grow spiritually like the older Christians that are in the church. And instead of pulling from their experience, they go, well, I can never be a good Christian. You gave up too quick. God grows you little by little by little by little. God doesn't grow you in quantum leaps. There's nothing that's like that. Nothing. Look at Luke chapter 8. After, in the parable of the sower, look what happens on the good ground when the seed is sowed. Watch this, verse 15, it says, Luke 8:15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit, watch this, with patience. With patience. That's when the seed, the Bible, falls on good ground. It is not talking about a stony heart or a thorny heart or a wayside heart. It says when God's word falls on a good heart and the heart is honest, God says it takes time to grow them spiritually. And I'd like you to give yourself the same time spiritually that God requires. And I watch Christians quit. They just quit too soon. You say, well, I've been saved for this long and I'm still not reading my Bible on a regular basis. Okay, can I give you a good time to start reading your Bible? Tomorrow. Start over again. I've been saved years and I don't even pray on a regular basis. Okay, can I give you a time to start praying? Tomorrow. Why don't you start again? Doesn't it say it in Lamentations? Morning by morning, His mercies are new every morning. You want a good, you say, but this year has been a rough year. Good. Can I give you time to start over? How about tomorrow? Well, with church attendance, I've been saved this long and I just hit and miss and whenever. Can I give you a good time to start over? How about tomorrow? How about next Sunday? Everybody's got to start somewhere. Amen. And if you aren't careful, you're going to use your own failures as a discouragement. And instead of letting God grow you at God's pace, you're going to quit. God grows you little by little by little. I probably use that phrase more than I use anything else. It takes time to grow spiritually. Can we apply this morning a second way? We'll apply this in the patience of your calling. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is so important. This truth, it sets you for the long haul. It sets you, in other words, look, if you're just trying Jesus, you're not supposed to try Jesus. I know what the song says. It's a stupid song. Just try Jesus. You don't try Jesus. You accept Him as your Savior. And He comes in and He never leaves. Amen? When you accept Him. But you don't try Jesus. It would help if you didn't have a try Christianity attitude towards God. Well, I'll try it, but if it doesn't benefit me, if you would commit yourself to what's right, like God committed Himself to you when He set out to save you, you'd get a lot more out of Christian life. Well, I'm in it until things go bad. Things are going to go bad. It's already on the schedule when your car is supposed to break down. Did you know that? Bad things are already, in other words, we're in a sin-cursed world, right? So if you have the attitude, well, I'm just going to try it. Christian, it would really help if you'd commit yourself. And commitment, we're starting to see, is very few and far between. You know why? Because nobody has to be in it now for the long haul. The technology and everything. Now, there is no waiting. There is no waiting. The patience of your calling. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. In other words, he's talking about, are you a slave? Back then, a lot of cultures have had slaves. I'm not for it. I'm just saying, America's not the only country that had slaves. All right? Here, he says, are you free or are you a slave? Are you a servant in a house? If you're a servant, serve where you're at. If you're free, use your freedom for the Lord. He's saying, where has God put you? It's a wonderful truth to apply to now. Well, I wish I wasn't in the home I was in. God put you there. Well, my parents have flaws. Did you know every parent has flaws? There are no perfect parents. All of them make mistakes. You know what? I'll tell you when your parents are going to learn everything they ought to learn right when you move out. I'm just letting you know how it goes. Everybody has, if you don't control your griping and your negative talk, you're going to cut down everything God gave you. God put you in that home. God put you in this place. God's in control. God put you there. And God says, whatever your calling is, whether it's servant or free, keep on reading. Look at verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a... Here, you see what they're doing? In the society, they're going, well, I wish I wasn't a slave. He says, you serve the Lord. God's in control of your life. And if you really are free, then he said, you're supposed to be subject to Christ, serving him as your master, right? Look at verse number... I'm just trying to give you the mindset. Watch verse 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now the passage is talking about being a slave or being a free person, and God says, abide in your calling. Where did I put you? Then learn to enjoy that part of your life, that God's in control. You say, but I want things different. I know, all of us do. But God says, learn to abide in your calling. I can apply it that way. I can also apply it this way. I watch many people make mistakes because they rush into marriage. Proverbs 19 verse 2 says, he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. And it's a rush. God says he'll grow you spiritually if you'll let him. In a man's life and in a woman's life, can I just tell you, your greatest need is not marriage. You need to learn to love God and get as close to him as you can. When you're ready, then God will bring you the right one into your life. But if you're, you know, I used to call them, you know, they used to have that game, Hungry Hippos, you know. I used to say, I mean, but I've watched teenage girls, they're husband-hungry hippos. Oh, there's one. And they'll literally take anything with pants on. Their character doesn't matter. Their ability to hold down a job doesn't matter. Will he leave you one day? Have you ever thought of that? I pray that for my daughter all the time. Lord, give her a husband that won't hurt her and won't leave her one day. Because if you see what I see as a preacher, yeah. Don't, in other words, let Matthew 6:30, your greatest need is, everybody in here, your greatest need is to put God first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, for those that are impatient, let me just, I put this in here. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Good thing. I found me a good thing. Amen? That's my wife. Amen? My wife's a good thing. Every wife ain't a good thing, but I got me one. Amen? Now, listen to this. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Proverbs 18:22. Put that with this verse. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from him that walketh uprightly. You do what God wants you to do, and God will give you a good thing. Isn't that good? That's encouraging. Don't get impatient for a spouse. Let the Lord prepare you little by little. Don't rush. Don't rush the washing machine. The washing machine's got cycles. You can't skip the rinse cycle or you get soapy clothes. You can't skip the drain or you get wet clothes. You can't go back to regain a cycle. Let the washing machine go through its cycles and don't rush it. Okay, next. You're not going to end up with clean clothes. God has cycles in life that you're supposed to let go to the fullest and enjoy in that cycle. You say, what are you talking about? Every child should enjoy being a child because you're going to grow up one day. My grandpa used to walk into my room and go, I was sitting on my, never forget it, Thanksgiving, a long time ago. My grandpa Nash walked into the room. My grandpa had a way about him. And he just paused at the doorway and he just looked at me. And then he goes, I wish I could be you. He said, you don't have anything to do. And then here I am, I think I was 14 or 15, and I remember going, and he goes, one day you're going to grow up and you're going to have so much to do like me. He said, but right now I really wish I was you. And then he walked away. It wasn't I love you or nothing. It was just, obviously I never forgot that. Every child should enjoy being a child. Every teenager should enjoy being a teenager. Oh, I just can't wait to grow up and then be there. Enjoy the stage you're in. Every single adult should enjoy being single. And every married couple should enjoy being married. Enjoy where God has put you. Instead of reaching for the next, enjoy what God's given you. Every young person needs to be patient and let God grow you. Don't be in such a hurry to get to the next stage. Every young person should realize you need your parents. That needs to be said. One day I'm going to be out on my own. God put you in that home and God gave you your parents. Learn what you can. Because one day, it'll be over. If you ever study the life of David and how God made a king, in 1 Samuel 16, David's anointed by Samuel at age 16 to be king. In 2 Samuel 2, 7 years later, David is made king over Judah, but that's only half the kingdom. In 2 Samuel 5, David is anointed king over the entire nation of Israel at age 30, 14 years after his first anointing by Samuel. It took God 14 years to make Israel's greatest king. If it took God that long to do David, God's trying to do something in your life too. If I could just get you to be patient and not throw in the towel when you fail and not throw it. God says, little by little, I'll grow you. From David being a teenager, David, it says, all through his life, he behaved himself wisely. When David increased to the point where God knew he was ready, David then inherited the kingship of Israel. David walked with God and learned what God wanted him to learn in that stage by little and little. I think being aggressive is a very important part of manhood. Men are normally very passionate about what they do, and they have to be. But to learn to control that passion, that's how come normally you don't hear about a woman having a temper problem. I'm not saying women don't. I'm just saying normally you don't hear about, boy, she just threw pots and pans till there's just no more kitchen. You don't normally hear that. Men are normally more passionate. That's why normally men have to learn to control their anger, or they do what? They get out of control. God says, Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 11:16, strong men retain riches. God measures manhood and strength by your ability to control yourself. I'm all for physical exercise, but God says bodily exercise profiteth little. How God measures your strength is your ability to control yourself and let him use you to help other people. That's how God measures strength. So by little and little, let God increase your character, your ability to make you do what you're supposed to do. Let God increase your honesty little by little. Let God increase your servant's heart little by little. Let God increase your respect little by little. Let God increase your humility little by little. Behave yourself wisely and seek God's will for your life. The Lord Jesus gave us a beautiful example of coming to this earth, being born, and Jesus waited 30 years till he preached his first sermon. You're telling me 30 years he never saw the Pharisees mistreat widows? For 30 years he watched the Jews mistreat the system God gave them. And Jesus didn't say a word until he was baptized, started his ministry, and then, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How hard was it for Jesus, who was God in the flesh, to keep his mouth shut for 30 years? That's a long time. That's a long time. Jesus, it says, from the time he was 12, he was arguing with the doctors and lawyers. He could have started preaching then, but he didn't. Can I just make a statement this morning? More importantly than what you're going to be someday is what you are today and what you will become tomorrow. what you will become. God increases you little by little as you humble yourself and submit to the authorities God gave you. Third application this morning is it's just for estranged relationships, little by little. Think with me. Estranged relationships don't get that way overnight, and they're not repaired overnight. When you have a relationship that needs work, it takes your diligence. You ask God to help you. He can repair hurt and painful relationships by little and little. Loving others and repairing relationships takes time. Husbands can get estranged from their wives. Wives can get estranged from their husbands. Parents can get estranged from their kids while they're living in the same house. As God begins to deal with your heart to rebuild the relationship, it will be little by little. People sit idle while the relationship deteriorates. Then they get frustrated when it's not restored overnight. And nothing works that way. Nothing. It deteriorated slowly, and it will go back together as you work at it slowly, little by little. As you wait for the Lord to work, the Lord increases your prayer life, and then the Lord increases your faith and your love, and God grows you through it little by little. Fourth application this morning. Let me just apply this to money. Don't increase your debt this holiday season. As your debt increases, everybody knows this, so does your stress. That's been known in America for a long time. I told you, God's order on finances is first you earn, then you save, then you spend. If you reverse it, you will create yourself a lot of stress. If you're in debt, pray about it and work at it. Do you know how you got in debt? Little by little. Do you know how you get out of debt? Little by little. It doesn't happen. Look, you say, why would you mention that, preacher? Because you're not going to get into financial freedom in one quantum step. You're not going to move into the land in one leap, like God says. Look, a millionaire is not going to pay your debts for you. So quit thinking that way. Amen. Quit hoping to win the lottery. I got more to say about that in a little bit. You shouldn't be gambling. That's a sin. God doesn't bless that. You keep working at it, and you keep working at it, and don't get frustrated with setbacks. You keep working at it. Success of any kind is never handed to you on a silver platter. Isn't it amazing? A guy who plays sports fresh out of college with one signature at age 22 can start making over $1 million a year. That's what's goofy about the sports world. It's weird. And have you checked out the success rate? It's not very high. I don't want my kids playing professional sports ever. I think it's a nasty world. Besides that, you got to play on Sunday when you ought to be in church. Amen? Well, he's a Christian. How come he's not in church where he's supposed to be? You keep working at it. Most of those guys that are instant millionaires blow it on drugs and women, and their success handed to them all at once becomes their life's curse. Everyone wants to get a big inheritance or win the lottery. You do your own stats and tell me what you find out. And then listen, 75% of all lottery winners end up bankrupt. You do your own check on that. Our human sin nature says, yeah, but if I won $5 million, I'd be different. Right? No, you wouldn't. The odds are against that. That's why that type of foolish thinking, people live in a fantasy land, and that's not how God works. God works little by little by little. God doesn't do it all at once, or else it would destroy you, right? Like the cases I just told you about. I watch Christians get discouraged, and this morning, I wanted to encourage you by saying God's method of working in your home, in your marriage, in your job, in your life is little by little. And when you have a setback and you have a failure, you don't quit. You get back up, dust yourself off, keep working at it. Keep working at your Bible reading. Keep working at your prayer time. Keep working at doing what God wants you to do. And you'll grow spiritually. But you're not going to get it all at once. I hope this is an encouragement to you. There's a lot of Bible behind what I'm telling you. Our mindset should be different than the world. They're the ones hoping for the millionaires and the lottery and all that other garbage. Our mindset, our hope's supposed to be in the Lord. Amen? And God says, you can tell when I'm working in your life, when you grow little by little by little. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth this morning, Lord, for each person here. Lord, where we can apply it.